to really send this plea to the department. including whatever that let us stick to that arrangement. Because that arrangement can really make things difficult for us to continue with the meeting, because the members have not seen the documentation. So please, in future, just ensure that we receive it in time. If you have challenges in doing that, we communicate, we talk about that. Honourable members, I would like to appeal to you that we have given the, we take that we have given the department a warning that in future documents must not come on the morning of the presentation. I hope that is acceptable to members. Ms. Moore, would like National Treasurer to kick off. You are invited.
Thank you, Chair, and honourable members, good morning. The presentation is just going to provide the context of the local or the internal capacity for the construction unit, which is in the water trading entity. I will start just with what is the general budget, what are the transfers to the entity. Just give you a sense in what areas in the water value chain the entity operates, what are the current governance arrangements. The committee asked that we reflect a bit on earmarked funds, what are the reporting programs, the indicators, how the personnel looks at this stage, and then just very high-level challenges and opportunities. I believe that DG will provide you with more detail on those areas. The budget for the Department of Water Affairs has a transfer line of about 25% of that budget is transferred to the water trading entity, which operates to construct, operate and maintain bulk raw water infrastructure like dams and canals and reservoirs. Of course, there are other work that speaks to major water infrastructure, which is the regional bulk money, the money that goes to the accelerated community infrastructure programs, and other programs in the department. So this is not the total infrastructure spend. It is only the money that speaks to the water trading account. And you can see the current transfer towards that account in this year was 2.56 billion rand. The water trading account spends a very large percentage of their transferred budget, and this is because it is the cheap money, so it gets spent first. But I just want to remind the committee that this is a small portion of the total revenue, because the water trading entity earns money from selling bulk raw water, and that income for this year was around 6.7, well, that was last year. For this year, it's about 7.7 billion rand. So this transfer is actually a small part of the total expenditure in the water trading account. But from our point of view, the money that gets transferred for the last 2 years has been spent 100% spending. What is this money being spent on? The major portion is 86% is spent on infrastructure. There's a small 7% operational cost, and then there are some money that's used to service loans for a river basin and a dam project on the borders of South Africa and Swaziland. And the basis of the transfer to the water trading account is based on claims, so the trading account presents claims to the I think you call it the main account, CFO, and then the transfers are made. Just to get a sense of where does the water trading entity operate, if we look at the water value chain, we've got raw water resources as the first area, the bulk water, and then the retail water. So as you can see, the major players in raw water is the water trading entity, and then also the TCTA, or the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, that operates in that area. There is a grant fund, as I've just indicated, the $2 billion. And if you have a sense of the projects, that the key projects that's currently undertaken, it is the projects in Limpopo, the WIRP, the raising of the Klein William Dam, Mwanitwa Dam, and other dam safety projects. Those are just sort of big projects. But they don't only operate in the water resource side. The water trading entity also provides projects in the bulk water, so where we provide for the water systems towards the distribution, and there the key projects currently undertaken are the Nandoni treatment works, the Inyasa, and the Kluwe regional water schemes. I'll raise again this issue of whether maybe we can identify certain areas where problems arise later, so I just wanted to highlight this. In terms of the PFMA, it is the management of the trading entity is regulated through Section 36, and in this case, the DG of the department is the accounting officer of the water trading entity. Just in terms of the freedom to shift money, it is quite restricted. So the Appropriation Act, that's the new one that we'll bring to the committee in a couple of weeks, will indicate that the money can only be used for the same purpose that it was appropriated, and it can only, if it's a capital allocation, it can only be used within that same program if there's approval by the minister, if there's a saving. So the money that gets transferred will get used for capital. Then in terms of the PFMA, if there are funds earmarked, then they'll need to ask the Treasury whether they can shift the funds to other programs. What are the funds that are currently earmarked? There was a practice in the Treasury to be quite strict at some point on the earmarking of funds. This was largely for the regional bulk, so the RVIC project. There was a lot of projects earmarked. At this stage, for the water trading entity, we are largely earmarking funds for the DWIP phase 2A and 2B, which doesn't mean that the money can't be shifted. It needs approval from Treasury, so it can be shifted. But we've pulled back a bit. When there was underspending in the department in the last 2-3 years, we reduce that earmarking share so that the department has more flexibility if there's a problem in one project to shift the money to another project, so we don't see money unspent. So although there's some earmarking on this one project, there's sort of been a pullback on the earmarking. And as I say, even if the department or the trading entity can shift money, they cannot shift it out of capital. They have to retain it in capital. So our understanding of what the performance is in terms of the financial performance and the delivery is largely guided by the reporting frameworks that is put forward in the strategic plan of the department, the annual performance plan and budgets and NDIS submissions. On a quarterly report, currently the water trading entity is included in the water quarterly report, so the department quarterly report will give the details of what is happening in the trading entity as well in terms of their targets and what they want to achieve. And the Treasury has requested specific performance in the monthly reporting as well. So on the large programs, there's also reporting to us on what is happening on a monthly basis in these programs, and we then bring them to this committee at a quarterly basis. The entity reporting specifically is through their annual report. The Treasury started a pilot program in last year in 2013 to include the quarterly reports for public entities and trading accounts to be submitted to the Treasury. The current legal environment says that I must report to the Minister, but we do feel that we'll be able to provide better oversight if we get quarterly details of performance and not just of expenditure. So we've started a pilot, we've included some trading entities, but not the water trading entity. I think we decided to use a smaller one first because this one is very big. But hopefully in the future we'll be able to incorporate all public entities to make this happen. And I know this is very small. I just wanted to give you a sense of the kind of reports we get back for the large programs, as I indicated, in terms of the performance. So for the water trading entity, there will be a percentage reporting in terms of what was the planned performance versus the actual performance. At this stage, speaking to the WIPs at Olifants River, Nwanitwa, Sanin Dam, and St. William Dam, as well as the rising of the Hazelmere Dam wall. So these are the kind of reporting we currently get, which at least gives us a sense of not just how much money has been spent, but then also where are we in terms of the performance of key projects. I just wanted to highlight that these are only very few projects. Sorry. And that the water planning entity is actually involved in a large range of projects. So that is the full scale of the projects that currently involved in. And at this stage, our system is not set up for detail to this level. I just wanted to give the committee members a sense of the capacity of the water trading entity. They currently have started increasing their posts again. There was a bit of a decline at some stage. So the current establishment is a 4,205 post. Currently that's got a vacancy of 511 staff, and the reason for this is largely that there's a turnover, but also that it is difficult for them to attract the scarce skills from the sector into the water trading entity. But there is a sense that they will be able to fill these with training over this coming next 3 years. As I indicated, It is always better to speak to those who are involved on a day-to-day basis about challenges. So I didn't want to take the shine now because we sit in our offices and don't get into the sun much. But I just wanted to highlight that there, as indicated in the value chain, there are very many role players in this water chain. You know, the TCCI and the Water Trading Entity, there's of course water boards, municipalities and some private players. So it makes integrated planning, coordination and reporting a bit of a challenge. Because this is a network infrastructure, it can domino. So a problem in one project can delay the next, can delay the next, can delay the next. So sometimes you'll see a chain reaction because of one delay. We, as I indicated, have been sensitive that we're not too specific on money that can be shifted, so that we can shift money if there's underspending. And we'd like to move to more detailed reporting of the water trading entity in terms of performance and not just financials. We must also understand that this is about or on budget and off budget money. So the water trading entity must also understand what is its revenue flows and plan its work in terms of projected revenue income. It is not the upfront secure income that they work with. And this off budget money can fund the project over the lifespan of the project. So the trading entity engages in borrowing to make some of this work. I think their projections for borrowing to go up to about 54 billion. The opportunities to address this is, as I've indicated from the Treasury side, we want to enhance the reporting of the entities in terms of performance. We are allowing, obviously, where there are projects where the departments can show that the money is committed, we will allow them to keep the money for a rollover, so we're not just going to take money away where we understand that the project is ready to spend. There's always scope for improved revenue generation in the water trading and entity to allow for co-funding of projects. It lowers the reliance on the fiscus, and it's all in all a good path to go on. There's been some use of water boards in terms of the regional bulk. I think there are some questions if you look at where projects get stuck. A lot of the regional bulk projects get stuck. It seems to be that they're very good at the dam side, but maybe the water boards are more suited for the regional bulk. It's just sort of an open question that we might want to look into. Treasury obviously offers additional support apart from just this oversight of the budget, and that is through the Office of the Accountant General. There's been some engagement with the department in terms of how to address their audit outcomes, how to improve their financial system. The Technical Assistance Unit in the Treasury has supported the department, and the newly created Chief Procurement Officer is also a support function that the Treasury offers to the department. Chair, so I can open for questions if I haven't made myself clear enough, but thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Ms. Ma, but you're not going to chair my meeting. I'll do it. I think what honorable members we should do, I think that Cheddar was giving the overview of how things should be. But SDF from Water Affairs now has to what you in real life. Thank you.
Chair, good morning. Honourable members, good morning. Our presentation has been prepared in three parts. I've got one dealing with the issues relating to funding allocations on the earmarked funds and the spend to date, which will be handled by the CFO and Thabiseng Fundekubi. And we will cover the issues relating to the management of the water trading entity, which will be done by Ms. Zandile Mate. And then I would look at the challenges and opportunities in the overall water infrastructure and water services delivery. And we'll look at that from a planning perspective, and some of the challenges which we pick up on the ground through that the planning that we undertake in the department. And I've got Fred from SAIL, who heads up planning on the water services side, to present on that. So I had initially wanted to start with Fred, but I think given the National Treasury submission and report and the comments that you made up front, I think I would start with Thabiseng and let her cover the funding and our current progress on that funding. I do also have with me, as part of my technical team, Lerato Makwena. She is sitting directly behind Zandile Mata. And Lerato is responsible for the management of the R Big M Week ASIP program. So she has got a good handle on she's got a handle on the projects. Thanks, Chair. I don't know if you want me to introduce the rest of the department. There's a strong delegation from the Minister's office, but essentially I've introduced apart from Shoki Molotta, who is supporting my office for our parliamentary activities, I've introduced my staff. That I do have is quite a big contingent from the Minister's office. Would you like me to just introduce them as well? Okay. So Shoki is the tall lady who has just walked past here, yes, next to me here. So that was the last of my team. I'll start with the Acting Chief of Staff, Paul Gaffney, who's sitting just next to the pillar there. Then one of the Minister's advisors, Mr. Boyan Kalipi. Just next to him, another one of the Minister's advisors, Mbangiseni Nefumbada. And I omitted one of my staff members there as well. I've got Sputnik Ratau, he's from my communications. Yeah. Thanks. Sputnik Ratau is from the department as well. Next to him is Mandla Matebula, who is comes within the Minister's department. And then Rofira Mudal, Deputy Minister's Office, and then Errol Makoba, Parliamentary Office Officer. So we're reconstructing each week. he's done a few laps around the circuit. So, Chair, that's the ministry and the department's delegation. So if I could then, with your permission, hand over to Ntabi Seng, and then we'll do Fred and Zondile. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. I would like to start with the comments made by the chair, and as I speak, it won't be reflecting on the screen because as a soldier I have to have my arms on, so I'm armed with the points that he raised, and I would like to quickly respond to them. He raised the issue of wanting to know where we are as a department and the M-Week spending. I'll quickly start touch on the challenges as well that we are experiencing with the M-Week. In overall, as a department, as of January, our report is sitting at 70% in terms of spending. And looking at the infrastructure projects, we are sitting at 69%. And going through the M-Week, which you have 9 months. Okay. Then on the side of M-Week, we have thus far transferred two quarters to the municipalities. As you may be aware that in terms of the transfers of the M-Week, it's the Schedule 5, and therefore we are transferring the funding to the municipality. However, we have put stringent controls on municipality in terms of the reporting, where we have entered into the agreement with them for them to submit to us on a monthly basis the progress report as well as the business plan, if there are any revise on the business plan. I must indicate that we are experiencing some challenges in terms of the M-Week allocation transfer because of the late submission of project plans from the municipalities and also the reporting. And as such, where we are at a stage where we are intending to withhold funds. On Friday of the 7th of Feb, we were supposed to have transferred the third quarter tranche to the municipality. As we speak, we have withheld 224 million, which we have not transferred. We have prepared the letter to National Treasury as well for their intervention because where we are is a Schedule 5 grant that we cannot take it over on. And in addition to that, just to indicate in terms of spending and the reason why we are withholding the funds for the MWIC, out of the 49% transfers that we have made to the municipalities, only 18% that has been spent. Therefore, the difference has not been spent, and we don't have any report, and we cannot risk and then transfer the money whereas there is no spending. However, we have projects in the department where we need to fast track in terms of making of ensuring that we have access water to the communities, and therefore we are engaging with the municipalities in terms of looking at their business plan. Instead of withholding money, we need to spend the money where it is actually required. In terms of going forward in the budget allocation of our project, the MWIC as a start started with a very little amount of 602 million, which only started in July. That was the first trench that we did. With the challenges that we then experienced with the MWIC, we then engaged National Treasury in terms of splitting the grants into two, to Schedule 5 as well as Schedule 6, so that we are able to have control over the grants, because when it's Schedule 6, then we are in a better position. And therefore, we then have for 14-15 allocation of 534 million on Schedule 5B, and on Schedule 6B is 524. So that is the split that we have in terms of the MWIC. So in total, for the first year, which is 14-15, that is going to start 1st of April, we have a total of 534 million. And then for Schedule 6B, we have a total of 524. So in total, we have the allocation of 1 billion for the MWIC for the first year. Yes, according to the project, we have looked at the project in terms of the implementation type of funding as well. So that is the allocation in terms of MWIC. In the department, we also have a SIP program that we have allocated funding for. ACIP we use for accelerated community water supply. We also fund the water conservation demand management. We also fund it to refurbish the wastewater treatment work. In total, for the ACIP allocation for the next year, we have 246 million. Then we also have the ARBIC project that we have the allocation for this current year, where I have reported that we are sitting at 69%. The budget was 3.4 billion. And for 14-15, the budget for ARBIC is 4.6 billion. We then done the analysis in terms of improving our situation of the management. One of the challenges that we have picked up is the issue of lack of accountability, especially in the local government, as well as poor implementation performance. As I've indicated, that We allocate, we transfer funds, but however, we then not spend it enough. We are going forward, we are going to enhance planning, because that's what we have picked up in terms of the lack of planning that needs to be improved. We'll improve accountability on the implementation agents, and most of our implementing agents is our municipalities. However, we have now roped in our water boards for them to do the implementation for the project. We also have gone to reprioritize the project that needs quicker completion, so that we can make the difference, and also strengthen the control on reporting mechanism. As I've indicated, that we have put a standard reporting mechanism within municipalities on a monthly basis. And moreover on that, we need to support the municipalities, especially in assisting them with the fast tracking of the implementation of the project. But ever not forgetting that we need to comply with the provision of DORA and PFMA, as well as the MFLA, because we work with the municipalities. That will be the end of my presentation. Thank you, Chef.
This presentation. Welcome, Honourable Minister. Thank you very much. We were made aware that you were held up in another meeting, but we had to start. Thank you very much for coming. Okay. So this was the MWIC, but you are aware that we haven't got that presentation. If you could organize the presentation. Meanwhile, to continuing, you can still be organizing. No, we'll do it later then. You may proceed. Is it? I don't know if we're presenting. Really, we're up to you now. Without some of them.
Requested that the department brief them on the management of the internal construction unit. I'm assuming that it is based on the implementing model that we used to have before. Basically looking at ourselves as an entity, finance providing support in terms of revenue collection as well as managing the budget.
The firstly something about the management of the internal construction unit and the WTD. So I just want to understand where the transition is, whether we are still on the same floor, whether when we talk about the WTD, I must be understanding that we are talking about the internal construction unit, or we are on a different floor. Or, so that I must understand the topic, because during our interactions with you, we knew it as a unit on its own and WT. So I wanted to understand whether we are talking about WT as we are talking right now, away from the introduction where you mentioned the internal construction unit. Is it the same thing, or is it going to be clear as the discussion goes on? Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. If you look at that that slide up there, that is your water trading entity. And within the water trading entity, you then have business units that are headed by business unit manager. There is one that deals with infrastructure development. There's one that builds new infrastructure. There's one that operates, which is the operations. You operate existing. That one is doing primarily asset management. And then there is construction engineering services and engineering services. We want to zoom into how that particular one needs to see the construction in and how it relates, because it relates within this bigger entity, which is the WTE, and it services, yes, yeah. But it is providing primarily civil work. And we had to go out on a term contract for mechanical and electrical. As you know, Chairperson, that in some instances, in most instances, actually, when you are building a dam, there will be some element of mechanical and electrical, and they are not expecting this. That one, we've got a term contract that is assisting us with that one. The same with civil engineering services. As I said, they are both service providers. They get paid by the clients being those two. And then civil engineering services, once you have established that there is work that we need to do, remember the contractor cannot go on site without the design. Then engineering services take the scope of work, and then they produce designs. Once the designs are produced, they then give them to CG Construction. So they are, at the moment, SLAs that we are beginning to draft, wherein they begin to treat each other as real professionals on site, not this whole thing that says that we are children of the same way, because then it becomes difficult to manage the budget when there is no clear lines and roles and responsibilities as to where responsibility starts and where it ends. If you look at the next slide, the way I've explained it, the WTE total income is approximately 10 billion. One infrastructure is 1.5 billion. Then you've got NWIR support, which is 207 million. The NWIR support is for salaries and for the corporate office, and all the non-revenue generating activities are funded under this 207 million, which is a portion of what Marissa from Treasury has indicated that is part of our augmentation. And that includes the 162 million from for finance. Then you've got, there's a SEP, which is an ERP system upgrade. And then there's another allocation that goes to Project CMA. The Project CMA, for the purposes of today, we are not going to deal with them, because they then report to the COO. But then the total WTE revenue is 7.8 billion. And 4.1 billion of the 7.8 goes to TCTA, which is the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, to service the loans. Because some of the infrastructure, I mean, about 60% of the revenue that we generate comes from the infrastructure that was developed by TCTA through debt. We therefore under obligation that, from our side, that we need to make sure that those loans are serviced. So out of the 7.8, as you can see, 4.1 services those loans. I think the next slide is just overview of the branch structure. And as you can then see, the way we're explaining it. The purpose of the construction management unit, as I said, is there to construct new water resource infrastructure and rehabilitate existing infrastructure to meet social water needs and facilitate economic growth and development. So they have two directorates. They have the chief directorate has two directorates. There's the construction support. This is primarily dealing with construction management, just pure construction. This is where all the construction managers that are responsible for the actual construction on site are housed. This also includes the human resource management, financial management, human relations, support, safety and security. And we have five construction units in the country. There's Construction South, which is here in Paarl. There's Construction East. There's Construction North in Lubuvu and Jowar. They are in various parts of the country, but there are five business units. Then you also have construction equipment. You will remember that when constructing any infrastructure, you will need equipment to support you. At the moment, the business model is such that we buy most of the equipment, and there is a unit that is just managing that fleet that you are using in our construction process. The next slide deals with governance and the challenges that we had beginning when I first met with the committee. The first challenge was that construction unit would execute and project manage the same project. And this affected the segregation of duties between construction management unit and infrastructure development unit. As I mentioned, the construction unit now is employed as a contractor in such a way that when we have our management meeting, they are flagged as contractors, because when we have our management meeting is when we are monitoring our objectives as the APP, and our objectives are primarily with operations and with the ID, which is the Infrastructure Development Unit. Infrastructure Development Unit has taken over its responsibility as project management, as a project manager, and they are coming from the infrastructure unit. Another challenge we had was construction units were guaranteed internal construction jobs without competing with external service providers. This affected the total project cost, as costs were not benchmarked with the market. As I said, that now they are bidding. In most, especially where it involves them raising of dam wall, we at the moment give them the first right of refusal. But in other jobs, we decide, looking at their capacity as well, and we go out on tender. It's no longer that any work that comes from the branch is limited to them. But for dam safety work at the moment, because it is a sensitive, a very complicated work, because you need to make sure that while you are fixing the dam wall, you are also very careful with the fact that you don't tamper with the original foundation of the dam wall. So that one at the moment, we're still keeping it with them, with a hope that what we are doing, like in Glen William, despite the fact that we have given them the raising of Glen William, which is our internal construction unit, we have also said there's a certain quota that we have said, you are then going to bring in emerging contractors that will then be taught on how dam safety work is done. And we've signed an agreement with them, like a contractor, and we've signed with them that. And we will be monitoring that on a regular basis, that they stick to that code. And then the other challenge we had was the progress on the project were not easily available for us to report at top management. With the appointment of project managers, we are able now to give detailed reports as well as project plan and progress on the project plan, because now they are project managers at IT. I must say that looking at the fact that we are dealing with plus or minus 10 billion work per annum, and some of it is also coming from RBIC, we are really looking hard at how do we build this capacity. And we are always trying to establish just a unit that will have just project managers that will then be assigned. Because if you're looking at the 10 billion, and currently we have about 4 of them, it is not enough. And we are not really touching the ground. So we have also advertised the project manager's post. We have also advertised quantity surveyors, because all along we have not been costing the bills of quantities to a lower level. We are relying on engineers' estimates. So that project management unit is also going to have quantity surveyors that are assisting us with a detailed breakdown of cost. There were also, even the project methodology was not there, but the new project management unit is now enforcing the project management methodology as per the PM book, and the project plans and Gantt chart are prepared and project progresses as monitored on a regular basis. And the budget of new infrastructure, which was dam safety, rehabilitation and water services, the budget, as you remember earlier on, it was with the contractor. The budget is no longer with the contractor. The budget is with the managers that are responsible for objectives, the primary objectives of the branch, as well as an RBIC. As I said, the project, when we're not looking at activities on bills of quantities, we will be appointing quantity surveyors. I'm hoping by 1st April they will be on site. They will be on site, because we have shortlisted. We are now next week looking at interviewing them. So there was no costing unit aspect. We are now going to have a costing unit. There was no again separation between operational expenditure and capital expenditure. An internal order system was implemented as a temporary measure to separate operational expenditure and capital expenditure, and that is being implemented with the hope that as soon as the SAP system, which is the ERP that we are implementing, picks up, then that system has all the modules that we need to break down our reporting system in such a manner that you know exactly what the money paid for. As I said, that the system is under development. In 2011, 2012 construction units obtained a disclaimer opinion. The issues that were raised were no policy in place to manage abnormal costs, lack of proper costing system in place, lack of segregation of duties. Construction was making internal profit within itself, discrepancies on accounting and costing depreciation. And it was also inability to separate operating and capital costs that I've said we are now dealing with it. In 2012, 2013, to show that we are making progress, the construction unit was unqualified with matters of emphasis. The following were put in place for us to be able to improve on the situation. We implemented an abnormal cost policy. Internal profit was eliminated. The accounting depreciation policy was aligned to the construction costing policy. Internal order project was implemented to account for capital expenditure. I think that is about all in a nutshell. Thank you very much. We are making progress. The only area where we haven't made progress as much as we would like is the supporting capacity that you need for project management, which is contract managers. We are busy trying to establish those posts, because we need somebody in the office who's going to manage the SLAs between the business units themselves. Because these documents are signed, and somebody on a monthly basis needs to make sure that the SLAs, the service level agreements that were agreed upon between the four business units are adhered to. We are planning to have those posts advertised before end of the financial year. Thank you.
Minister, good morning. How are you, Minister? No, it's fine. Minister, at the beginning indicated that we were interested mainly on those matters of the M-Week, which though the letter that they had received was had included other things, but the presentation was made on the M-Week and the challenges that were raised there. I'm sure as you were coming in, CFO was presenting on the MWIC. Now, the other matter that we had as a result of our oversight was the construction unit, the modus operandi of the construction unit, on which now we have just received the presentation. What I would like us to do, honorable members, with your permission, is to focus on these two presentations. I don't know if you, it will be fine with you, but I thought that maybe we just need to focus on these two presentations. Is that in order? That's fine. Minister, I don't know if you would want to make at this stage any or later. Okay. Comrades and honored members, can we then engage with this presentation? Honorable Swart, okay, let's start with Honorable Mfulo. Honorable Swart.
Thanks, Chair. I'm looking at the presentation that was done by...
Now they're going to...
Chair?
They're organizing that presentation for us, Honorable Mfulo. But you can engage, but we'll get copies. No?
Yes, Chair. Now I'm looking at the one that was done by Treasury. I just want to ask transfers of... The first bulletin point is talking about that the expenditure of transfers are consistently high. And I can see that there's 100% whatever. But my question is, you know, I don't know when they say consistently high, is it because they spend the money? But if they spend the money, did they spend it on the right thing? Because it's not clear. To say actually what is happening there. And then vacancies that are there, time frame, when are they going to be filled in? That's 511 vacancies. And then they say role players in the water sector make integrated planning and reporting a challenge.
Mfulo, can you just help us with one thing?
Oh,
when you raise a question, just indicate where exactly.
The other one, I'm still...
No, the first one was on...
It was on the transfer, that's page 4.
Page 4.
Yep. And then I came to page 11, around the vacancies.
Okay.
Still on those vacancies, I want to see how many people with disability are in those vacancies, because it's one thing that I pick up that every time there are vacancies, but you are not complying in terms of disability. And then on page 12, it's talking about the challenges in terms of coordination and reporting, and I would love to know what are the plans, because you pick up this as a challenge. Is there anything on board that you are coming up with to make sure that, especially the whole of page 12 is about the plan. What is there? Do you have a plan around those issues? And then you say the department on page 13 is piloting the reporting tool to be rolled out. Is it there? Or is it still in planning stage? What is happening around that one in terms of that? And the time frame, how long is going to be taken? How long is it going to take to deal with that? And then the presentation that is not there, I've just noted some of the things to say. They were talking about late submission, late reporting. I also ask the same thing. Because we can pick up that this is happening, what do you have? Is there any plan And then you say, out of the 49% transfers, only 18% have sort of reported. I'm talking about the slide that we don't have now.
So you
see that people are not reporting, but it's not clear. And then we talk about lack of accountability and poor implementation. Who's doing what? Who's supposed to be implementing? Who's supposed to be making sure that transfers are happening? Whose role is it actually? Is it yours as a department? And if it's yours, what are you doing to make sure that this kind of challenges are not coming? Then I'm going to the last slide of the DDG. I get more confused and confused. All I want to understand from this whole presentation is to find out these companies within the company or business within the business of the department. Are they employees of the department or are they on their own? I understand the concept of having, you know, as units or divisions where you can charge each other for the service that you are giving to each other. That concept, I know it's happening in the private sector, where one business unit will charge the other one. It's a good concept. But here, I'm not so sure who's doing what. You are talking about that they are being paid by the client. Who is the client here? You know, I'm a little bit, and you're saying the construction and the engineering are service providers. Are they service providers within the department? Or are they on their own? Maybe I need to be, and then we go to, I think I'm covered. Then you're talking about advertising the project management post, or is it advertised, or are you still going to create it? And then time frame, when is that going to happen? And then you're talking about emerging contractors in terms of challenges and governance on page 11. You talked about something, it's not there, but I captured it as you were reporting. To say you've agreed with these people that they must make sure that emerging contractors are part of what needs to happen. But my question is, on which project? Small project? Big project? Because from my experience as I go around, I'll find that we are being told that no, SMMEs are part of the program. But when you look at the real thing, you'll find that they are at the bottom. They are not even where money is. They are just getting peanuts. Now, what do you do to make sure that it's not happening? And then, in terms of the money that you are, that is page 13 again, you're talking about internal profit made by construction is identified. But why my question is, where those profits, where did the money go to, or where does the money go to? Then on the systems, progress system, where you are wanting to upgrade, when is that going to happen? Are you already upgrading now? Are the people there, or is it a plan, or you are still thinking about it? Because also it's not clear. On audit opinion, I don't understand abnormal cost policy. That is the following we're putting in place, abnormal cost policy. And internal profits were eliminated. What is there for that? So far, thank you, Chair. Those are some of my questions. I'll come after.
I'm sorry, I've covered everyone. I don't think I have a question. No, it's fine. I think they will clarify some of the things. Honorable Swart, Honorable Snare?
No, Chair, the Honorable Mafula asked virtually all the questions, as you said. So I thought the Honorable Ramata Khanna would ask some questions, but unfortunately he had to go. So, in any case, now I want to just join Honorable Mfuluzu to ask about the prophets that are made, because it says that the internal prophet made, that's on slide 13. The internal prophet made by construction is identified and adjustments are made to ensure that there is compliance with the accounting standard. But I want to know where those prophets go and where they're reflected and whether we've got any figures as to what kind of profits have been made. And also I would like to know if there are any losses made, whether, you know, what is being done about that, and are there any losses that has been reflected up to now, and what happened to them. Okay, then the second thing, Chair, with regard to the MWIC, you know, there's a lot of money of the infrastructure grant going to the local authorities. And I know of a lot of local authorities who have received monies from the Department of Water Affairs for infrastructure, you know, projects, and they've used the money. Some of others are sitting on the money, using it to cover their overdrafts, et cetera, in municipalities, instead of you know, providing services to the people that want it. And even if the money's been spent, but they can't use the facility, then it is a waste, because and there are numerous examples of that. And the whole reason for that, or the main reason for that, is because water licenses have not been issued, and there's still a backlog on water licenses. So I'd like to know what the situation is there.
Honorable sir, I thought that we had agreed that let's focus on the M week, and the that internal construction unit presentation. Now you. No, that one that is not in this ambit where we have the, but it's fine. Honorable Snap.
Thanks, Chair. I think with regards to the MWIC, the reason put forward to us previously is that the municipalities aren't able to spend money to lack of capacity. We can just park that in MWIC. To go through a presentation like this of this construction unit, which is by no means a small construction company, it would be in the thousands of the group, $5 million, it's huge. Okay. To turn it around in one financial year is an impossibility, in my opinion. Yes, I acknowledge that there has been progress made on it, but all these issues and gaps that have been identified, they're not going to be fixed this financial year or next financial year. It's going to continue for some time. And for us just to be, you actually need to go deep into this, in the chair. See, for example, this concept of not being able to make a profit. So then you must put a price. If you see now that you're going to be able to finish the job with 100 million less, you must waste 100 million so that you don't show a profit. Now that's crazy. You see? Also, the department is, or through the water entity or whatever, through the company, all the plant is bought for it. Okay? Now, they're not having to generate profits to buy that plant, I don't think. Well, that's not being explained to us. It's coming through your normal operational budget. So your prices compared to the private sector should be millions and millions and millions of rand cheaper, because they either have to hire that plant or they have to buy that plant. So either your prices are not inflated, or something doesn't add up in my mind. But then, parking the actual construction company underneath the water entity and still having your client concept, why can't that construction unit be taken out of that thing completely, where they can go and tender to municipalities to build capacity, do the work cheaper because they're getting their plants sponsored to the, then that's your engineers, your project managers, assist those municipalities as well with their business plan, kind of thing. don't try and focus in on running the construction. But let the construction company run as a construction company, hire its own staff to be able to do those things. Because to me, out of that 511 vacancies, I'm assuming that a lot of them are for, as you say, project managers, engineers, your professional people that you need to be able to actually run things on site. How are you going to look at overcoming this? I just wanted to put those comments on the table, Chair.
You'll come back. Okay.
My question is more general.
Sure. No, yeah, yeah.
Because I think it is the time that...
By all means.
Where we are, I saw the problem, one of the challenges are the water boards. Some of them are not functioning well. Some of the water boards are not functioning well. C, I think it is C then. To take over water projects, the water boards are not functioning well.
It's an agent engagement with the water board so that they can assist in ensuring that the project do perform.
Yeah. My question is actually, we have now a lot of protest actions the last month or so. People are moaning about water boards. Is that where some of the water boards are not functioning effectively? For some of the projects. So, in many cases, they blame the department for water affairs. Perhaps it is problems with the municipalities. But I just want to ask the question, our intervention there, the department's intervention there, this kind of thing. Is there any solutions? Are we solving the problems? I also look at the news on Sunday where the FDG also explain some of the things. But my question is more the pragmatic question. The relations with the local governments and what is the role that SALGA play? Does SALGA assist the department? The local government, are they playing a role? And that is, my question is a broader question, Chair. I know it is a pressing issue that is now sensitive, but I think we have also some background on this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Flom. But now I'll come to you, Commissioner. Now, I think that maybe the department will respond, but just to give the information that we have tried to get hold of the Department of Corporate Government and Development, so that because as you will remember, when this project was brought to us, I'm talking about MWIC, it was supposed to be a joint, what you call it, project, yeah. But I think that the reason for Proctor people not coming is because we informed them late. It's not that they didn't want to come, you know. By the time that we informed them, they will be joining us tomorrow.
Yeah.
I spoke to the DG because we had wanted them to assist in this presentation from their side, as their people who are responsible for municipalities. Let me start with Comrade Snell, and then Comrade Mashiko.
chair at the same time, to try to get back to that argument of mine, to the reasons to be able to try to fit that construction come. So you get all your systems in place now, and I understood that when the introduction was done, it said that the HOD of the department is also the accounting officer of the entity of the. Now, you get all those things in place. You start to be able to manage the construction unit perfectly well. Your costings, now you run at a loss on a particular contract. How would that be then deemed, would that be wasteful, fruitless expenditure? If you don't finish the project on time, the department starts to implement penalties. What would that go down at? So I'm just trying to say, if you do get all these things in place which haven't been there, and you start to get figures that are correct, because the figures that have been coming haven't been correct, how would that then affect your audit outcomes for the department?
I'll direct my first question to Ms. Moore on page 8. Because from 31 to 37, you said some only two projects were earmarked, but you allowed the flexibility. I think it's okay. Although when you went on oversight, it didn't help a lot for us, because this caused a lot of understanding as the flexibility of it left the earmark project not being well attended to, because the money had to be moved for other reasons. But what worries me on page 8 is that your entity reporting. You mentioned on your last letter that WTE is not included in the initial project, because here our concern mostly is the water asset issues, where we could have known why WTE, because what we presented as this entity reporting came as a solution and something that will show progress in whatever is happening, but if the entity we are discussing here was not in the initial pilot program, I think you have a good reason to prepare for that. And then we refer to, Honorable Snell has already referred to vacancies. Whilst you were presenting, I was thinking of all the institutional agencies that seem to be involved in the training of water assets. There's MISA. I think this question will go to water assets, because they told us that they work in conjunction with MISA and Mr. Boloho at our workshop in Toyando explained in detail how they are involved in assisting in water affairs. I thought it will be addressing some of the, even if there are vacancies, some of the gaps that are there, MISA will be assisting, and the unit in National Treasury should also be assisting and empowering this. How serious is this, and how can MISA, as it presented itself at the workshop, assist in trying to assist the department? Because this is a very, very important department that the basic lives of people rely on. That I think most of those institutions that is assisting the training should be showing some impact in the process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable member. Maybe just to add on what the members have raised. I think honorable minister, with respect to MWIC and the challenges that have been raised, it's precisely why we wanted to have a briefing. We know that MWIC has been there for a very short, hasn't been there for long.
obviously there might be a different problems. However, in the presentation that we got last year, Honorable Mashiko is saying that the understanding was that there will be close working relationship from both departments to ensure that the municipalities are able to perform in terms of coming with plans, reporting, and all those issues of accountability, which would ensure that the spending at least is raised. Now, we are informed that after 6 months, they are at 18%. Maybe what is important is what is being done to ensure that that spending is accelerated, because we mustn't talk about the issues of capacity that are not there, don't exist with municipalities. They're really not there. But the issue that was raised from the beginning, we informed that it's water sales, it's COPTA, it's treasury, who else? I think it's a combined, what we call, effort. Identifying, of course, those weak municipalities, you know. But the issue really was, our understanding was that the intention was to say, how do we build capacity in those municipalities to ensure that they are able to deliver on this. But so I think that on that side, that is a bit now the that presentation is not here in front of us. But coming to the issue of the construction unit, well, just before we get to that, next week, I think soon, Honorable Minister, will be dealing with the Honorable Members, Division of Revenue. I think it's one matter that we need to be faced with, the issue of whether it should be Schedule 5 or Schedule 6. Does it help us? If it is Schedule 5, where the department has no say, does it assist us in terms of spending? Something that, for me, it worries me. Because I think that it doesn't matter to me whether the money is with national department, if that money is going to assist the country to deliver on these issues. I think so be it. But we find mechanisms to ensure that the municipalities have a role to what we call to play somehow. There's some engagement. Because Schedule 5 from the report seems to be saying that it doesn't help us much. And the one objective of this intervention, Honorable Minister, for my understanding was that you wanted to accelerate this intervention. But now if you're going back to square one as a result of our own legalities in terms of schedules, I think maybe something that then we need to deal with going forward during the when we deal with the division of revenue with the municipality in there. But with respect to the construction unit, my understanding, honorable members, was that we're saying the construction unit is important, that it should be there. I remember taking people making examples of your old when people used to work along the what they call the road, you know. But those people were shocked that there is work that they have. But if we open it too much, Honorable Minister, I think that the reason we asked for this presentation was not to say that construction unit should go, but it was to say, how do we ensure that we check up its governance structure? There is accountability there, because I'm not sure if it is the mechanism that was presented here about that it must be. I'm not sure what we're saying exactly, but I think that we should find a mechanism that says they should be efficient. We're talking about issues of efficiency. They should be efficient. They should be accountable. All those kind of things that we require. But it's fine to be there and just close the gaps where we think, what you call it, where we think that there are gaps. I think the report is good because it's making comparisons that this is what existed before and this is where we are going. But the issue then that we need to engage with is that where we are going, are we tightening the screws now, or where are the gaps? Your 2012-2013 audit report, I think that it does show that at least there is progress that is being made. But those issues of emphasis that were raised by the auditor, I think are the issues that Muhammad, in your presentation, you what to call you raised, but they need to be attended to. But all the other questions that also maybe we need to pay attention to, I think that in thinking about how to make the unit efficient, is the fact that there should be there should be professionals residing within the department. I'm not sure if the presentation was saying that, but those are expensive people. I'm not sure if that's what the presentation was saying, but I think they are expensive people. Maybe you need to find a way of engaging them than having them permanent in the department. The professionals like your Sarissa, surveyors, your town planners or what, and those people, I'm saying so. I'm not sure if you would want them to be permanent there in the West to come. Minister, over to you and the team.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We, first of all, would like to thank you indeed for this opportunity to speak to yourself and appear before this August committee to interact on very important matters that you have selected for today. We, as I said, Honorable Chair, obviously going forward, look forward to interaction also on the various work and other areas of work that we are doing as a department that does not necessarily also relate to finances or appropriations, because it's quite important to work within the context in all instances, even as you look at the appropriations.
having said that, I therefore am saying that we place this as a request and a formal one to just find a day or so into the future to deal with that work. I am going to ask the acting DG and my colleagues to respond to some of the technical issues, but I'd just like to touch on the high-level issues that I think are of great importance. Not that other technical issues are not important. But first of all, I think we must thank Treasury for having isolated the issues for discussions for discussion here today. And as we look at the Treasury report, holistic as it may be and as it is, I think it is important to make note of the very important observations that that report is making. And amongst others is the fact that there are certain processes that are unfolding within government and is led by Treasury. For instance, the process of ensuring that entities are assisted with reporting tools, and that's what comes out of the Treasury input. That doesn't mean that there hasn't really been work being done by Treasury nor by the department, this particular one, and other departments. It means that there is, on an ongoing basis, attempts to actually improve on accounting and accountability processes and procedures so that we are able to improve the governance of our structures and by our structures in government. It does also, in the same vein, that input indicates how expenditure has been flowing and how Treasury has itself introduced some fluidity, if you like, within the expenditure programs and processes. For instance, where they indicate that there has been an introduction and somebody asked this question, I'm also trying to deal with it, some flexibility on the spending and so on. This is also not, again, in our understanding, just intended to allow departments or even entity like ours to spend willy-nilly, but to be able to respond to the challenges as and when it's necessary so that we don't stifle development where there are challenges or some blockages that sometimes we find unexpectedly so. Those blockages do not necessarily have to hamper progress, but then we then have that flexibility to move on. And that is actually a point linked to what I think I also want us to focus on. The fact that we have grants like MWIC, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is not something that has come by accident. It has come by design from our engagement with Treasury, that we have found it necessary that there be a grant of this nature, and a grant of this nature that will actually help us at the services level in particular, at the water services level in particular, and that's in municipalities, at the water services level in particular, to be assisted to deal with the very serious challenges that are existing there. We know those challenges. That are about decayed infrastructure, that are about non-functional infrastructure, that are about non-existence of infrastructure in some instances, and so on and so on. The list is endless. And that on its own actually presenting a picture that suggests that South Africa has not moved to provide water to the tune of over 95%, when in fact the reality is such. We have moved beyond that 95%. But the challenges of non-functionality of that infrastructure is great. So it's intended to address those things at the MWIC. And therefore, this being a new grant, it's first year, Chair.
6 months down the line.
And naturally, as you rightfully said, there are teething problems. And as we had a discussion with Treasury last year, we pointed out that there is indeed a need for this kind of a grant to be somewhat structured in such a manner that there would also be this element of flexibility. And I must say that, I don't know how to say this, but I think the minister will pronounce there is that element of flexibility that's currently being introduced, so that we're not stuck with money that's supposed to be used by municipality A, and it's there, and for some reasons, various reasons, either procurement processes or inability to act or whatever in a municipal system level. If there are those kinds of issues, then that money can be used. We would then have to have that flexibility as a department to move in and ensure that that money is utilized in accordance to the way it should actually be. That's the indirect nature of this matter. You raised issues about Schedule 5 and Schedule 6 and so on. Is it Schedule 5 and Schedule 6 still? Or 4 and 5? 5 and 6. There is now a movement towards that indirect, even though people may, because I think we should understand that Treasury would also want to maintain the structure of a budget in a particular manner. In other words, you can't look at the budget and see it not having anything in allocations to municipalities. Because it is highly likely that we could actually erode everything and move it to either national or provincial, and then put it there. But if it is the money that's intended to be spent at national, at local level, it would be placed like that as a structure of budget, but then it would be used indirectly and in a different manner, in a flexible manner. That's the introduction that we understand is actually being. And if it is being done as early as this, by the way, Treasury did say to us in the engagement that I spoke about earlier on last year, when the grant was being introduced, that they are giving this grant an opportunity for this 1 year to just see if it is really used or functional in Schedule 5. If it is not functional, then they will see what to do. And already I'm saying they've introduced this kind of mechanism for us to really utilize this profile. We do think that even at this point in time, as there has been an expenditure of about 13% share, there are mechanisms in place that are intended to actually unlock some of the gem locks that are there. Our CFO and other CFOs of municipalities are engaging with Treasury, obviously, on a continuous basis to move into those municipalities to try and really unpack what the causes of the problems are, and that Treasury should then take corrective actions where it's necessary, even at this stage when it's not yet an indirect funding. So I'm saying that we do hope that with the interventions that are being put in place, there will be an improvement in this grant funding. By the way, we have been putting an eye on it just from day one, because we did expect that such a thing could happen, could easily happen. And then the other thing is the issue about the, just a broad matter about the institution, that's now the NWRI. I do think that it is necessary, the construction company as it is being put. In the document share that Mati was talking about, I think if we look at from page 10, where it's written from page 10 onwards, I think they can bring it on there for those who do not quite have it. If you look at the challenges that are on the left hand side, and then look at the progress that's on the right hand side, you will note that and notice that the existing challenges, they are in fact attempts to actually correct those challenges. One of the things, if I may just say, for instance, the very first one, that says that the construction unit is a challenge. Construction unit would have executed project managed and project managed the same project, and this affected segregation of duties between construction management unit and the infrastructure development unit. That has been, if you look at the right hand side, there are some attempts to, or even successes actually, not just attempts, to deal with those issues and address them. Construction units get requested to submit proposals to execute the project before the job can be awarded to them, and the approval award is based on price, quality, and instead of them bidding external, they are being expected not just to get, in other words, here is a quality check kind of a thing, of a strategy to say, even if you are internal to us, we still want to see in you not just a willy-nilly a blanket approach of saying, here's a project, take it and go. And then whatever amount and the cost that they construct a particular project on is really just dependent on them. It is no longer like that. And therefore, I think the issues that were raised by Honorable Snell are quite important, but this is the area where they are going to be, in a way, addressed, because there's quality check and quality control in that instance. This is not intended to be a business like a PTY LTD. I always say that we have our own company, but let's not look at it as a Marian Roberts Construction PTY LTD. It is not. Nor is it a who are you? So PTY LTD or Carbon Becky CC. It is not. It is not. It is a construction company that's got to ensure that we have value for money, that kind of approach that way. We always say, let us utilize our own internal resources, and government must use its own internal muscles and entities to actually do the work that it should do. It's the policy of this government. However, as we do that, we shouldn't do that just willy-nilly with waste and no management. As you see, all these initiatives here, they are intended to put governance mechanisms in place, and of course with treasury support, with that monitoring, extra monitoring, the tool that has got to come, that will help us in a way to actually continue to manage this internally and externally, coming from government side. The issue of turning the entity around, may I also share that part of the work that we're going to be talking about at the standing committee level, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is the work that we are doing, not just about turning the entity around or this WTE around in terms of its own internal management and ensuring that we get clean, there's no such a thing as clean audit, by the way, good audit with proper audit outcomes and so on. It's not only that, but the broader approaches that are contained in the National Development Plan, that we have to have a water kind of what, agency in that chapter, that's what it contains. So we're looking at the three entities that we have, WTE, NWRI, NWRRI, and the CCTA, how we can work around the three to actually have this particular body or agency or whatever you call it at the end of the day, to have its own asset base that we can be able to borrow against as government in terms of the infrastructure direction. So we will be able to share with you that work and how far we are with regards to that. Over and above the internal work that we are doing, we do think that where we are right now, in about the space of, we targeted 2014, this coming financial year, maybe the next, we will have that better audit or clean audit. I think we've done well, relatively speaking. 2 years ago, we were sitting at about 11 billion rand of assets that could not be accounted for. No profit, we don't get profits in that organization because we are not able to make it to print. We were sitting with about... No, it's me. So the three, the you got worried, Chair. Yeah, no, I'm saying that there was an amount of 11 billion rand of assets that could not be accounted. Now it's no longer there. The money of tariffs that could not be collected, we're now sitting with a lot of money from payments of our debt that is being collected. So there's a gradual turnaround of these institutions, both WC and WRR. We do think that we'll get there. And final, I think just at the high level, the issues that I wanted. So maybe, Honourable Member, the protest action that we are referring to us, they are really a reflection of these very same challenges that we are talking about. And of course, they vary from political problems. We know that that's a big one, obviously. Sometimes when people are unhappy about me as a councillor, then they find a way of getting to the assets. Sometimes it's really because indeed there are issues about the infrastructure that's non-functional, detailed infrastructure that doesn't provide water. And this is for that reason that we are providing that support to our municipalities, because mega chunk of these problems are applicable and happen in that area of work. It's not just about, here we're saying we are really, the opposite of what you said is actually true. That we are utilizing the strength that we have in the water board to intervene in municipalities. We are utilizing the strength that we have in the water board to work with NISA to intervene in the municipalities. NISA is our partner. It's not quite a competitor to the water board. They are more or less at the same level. Remember, we have 12 water boards currently. We are going to end up with 9. But they are just as strong as the NISA is. So they are partners in that development work that we do to support our municipalities. We do think that, may I also say while I'm here, that by the way, Chair, we've also formulated a very clear, succinct strategy of intervening where there are hotspots, where there are problems on a daily basis, with funds available, with action, with teams available, exactly that. And there, we may want to just come again and share that with you, because that we have not had an opportunity to. It'll cover even about the usage of the MWIC grant and how we're utilizing that. I think that is it. From now, they've entered the job opportunities, the vacancies that are there. I think in its report, Treasury does also indicate that in the analysis that those vacancies will be filled in this period that we're working on. We may not be able to fill all of them, because as the Chair was saying, some of them are really very highly technical and skills that we may not necessarily have to find easily in the workspace. But we try by all means to have very strong capacity, because we understand that we have to help our municipalities and support our municipalities. There are issues that we need to engage on, and it will be good if we appear one day with in the presence of SALGA, of SALGA as well as the local government, so that we talk about these issues too at this level. Thank you very much.
Chair, thank you. Minister has actually covered. Can I carry on, Chair? Chair, well, it's quite difficult to respond after Minister, because she's covered the issues in a lot more detail than what she said she was going to do when she was going to just give a broad overview, and she has dealt with a lot of the detail. But I'll just run through the questions. Some of the questions will have to be answered directly by National Treasury around the presentation they made and the references to particular pages and why they put in. For example, the question that was raised around looking at some of the state-owned entities and putting them into pilot projects, where Marissa indicated that they've taken or selected some of the smaller entities rather than the WTE, which is a big entity, to pilot with. But she can answer those when she comes in after me. But just to pick up on some of the things which she might not be able to respond to, Honourable Fuller raised the issue of vacancies. People with disability, I can just indicate in the departments, we don't perform very well in terms of people with disability. Our total number of people with disability in the department at the moment is 57, which is only 0.7% of our total establishment. So certainly it doesn't meet the 2% target for employment equity. The issues relating to National Treasury, I'll leave those. I will let Lerato and also Zondile just to attend Lerato on the MWIC project and Zondile around the specific questions around the WTE or the construction unit. Just a quick one, issue raised by Honourable Swart. You just threw in one on license backlog, current license backlog 221 and it's going down. So there's a significant improvement there. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. So we're down. It's decreasing. And just over the weekend, I signed off another 35 odd licenses just this past weekend. Sorry. 221 water use licenses in backlog. Yeah. After a total of 5,000 that you're dealing with. Yeah. So that's a big lot. And the point that Honourable Swart raises as well, that might be true or anecdotal evidence where you mentioned that the funds going to local governments might be used for other activities such as covering of overdrafts and that type of thing. What we as a department look at in terms of transfers to local government is to see that it's spent against the project as was intended. If it's not being spent against the project and local governments are not reporting to us around those identified projects, then I, as accounting officer, have to take the route of saying I'm going to suspend payments. But I've got to do that in relation to the requirements of DORA and the PFMA in advising the local authority concerned, plus National Treasury, and in this case, we'd also notify the Department of Cooperative Governance because we work closely with them. The Minister made reference to the fact that our CFO and Thabi Singh does have engagement with the CFOs generally around these issues as well. So there is an engagement from national to local government trying to sort out these particular problems. Just by way of matter of interest, I mean, Thabi Singh indicated that while we've transferred 49% of MWIC and there's only 18% expenditure, when I look at current MWIC performance, current MWIC performance is only at 28%. So that's really an indication. I shouldn't be talking on behalf of COPTA, but we see the figures, we share the figures, and that's the issue there. Honourable Gelderblom, Honourable Chair, MWIC and MWIC are being sent by the same municipalities. Now, if they can't perform in MWIC, they're not going to perform in MWIC. And sir, that is why when we agreed with, in Afrikaans, I would say with Long Tana, at the end of last year, when I engaged with the DG National Treasury for MWIC to go into Schedule 5, we said we'd try it for this year. And there's a recognition that some municipalities might not, in fact, be able to perform because the target was against the 24 district municipalities who were, in fact, the worst performing. They were recognized as worst performing, but we put the money into the municipalities for them to spend. Now, with that experience of 6 months, we're finding that it's not working. But if you have a look at the figures on the schedule that Thabi Singh put forward for next year, for the 14-15 year, you'll see it's about a 50-50 split between Schedule 5 and Schedule 6. The reason for that is that those municipalities that are performing, we've left them there in Schedule 5. Okay, that's why you see the split. So So when we say only 18% expenditure, it doesn't mean that every municipality is not performing. There are some, so we're going to make that distinction between those who can't and those who can. And the point that Marissa made in the second to last slide around the use of water boards, I think the other innovation which came into the DORA for this year, the 2013 DORA, was the fact that there was a specific provision, clause made, for municipalities to use water boards for the implementation of projects. The reality on the ground is that not every municipality would like to do that. They want to do it on their own. So you don't get that, even though we've got that provision, it doesn't happen easily. There's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and engagement with that. But if we split it Schedule 5 and 6, we'll be able to intervene to a greater extent and use our water boards for that implementation. Minister made reference to the hotspots which she said we should deal with on another occasion here. But the point is, at the moment, in dealing with some of those service delivery protests, we're using our water boards to a great extent to go in there and rectify and repair, and then we step back a bit. If you look at Madiben, for argument's sake, it is a combination of our infrastructure branch, the water board, and Eskom. Eskom have got expertise as well, and we called them in to help us in terms of managing a system under extreme difficult circumstances. And they helped with their experience in managing systems under crisis, under critical conditions, and put in protocols for us in terms of how we mitigate the risks without shutting systems down. And that's why we got Madibeng up and running again, and we're building back the redundancy because of that combined effort. You look at Standerton, it's the same thing. Standerton, our construction unit has gone in there. We're putting 20 million rand in there to reinstate the systems in Standerton. But that doesn't happen easily. There's resistance from the folk who should be doing these things, for starters. So we talk and we cajole with each other, and eventually we get in when we establish sites and we start making a difference. So all of those, that dirty water that you saw in Standerton on Carte Blanche on Sunday nights, within a month's time, that will be history because we've gone in there and intervened. So Zierust, Tabazimbi, all of those others that have been mentioned as well. Makana, Gravestown Municipality, we've intervened there as well. And I can sit here very confidently this time, Chair, to say we've intervened at Makana. That is operating. We're not going to have the situation that we had last year where the university nearly had to close down because we didn't have water. Now, there it was a combined intervention as well. It was the municipality who had to agree to us doing the work. It was us putting Amatola Water in place. It was an intervention by the PICC where they mobilized resources from the Chekweni municipality to come and give us advice on old infrastructure that was down there. And we have also roped in Eskom to speed up some of the issues around transformer port purchases and putting in new power lines. So wherever we go in and intervene, it's not just water affairs, it's taking us along. And I should have also mentioned, which I didn't, the fact that NISA are also part of the solution as well. But NISA, unlike the water boards, have got capacity to go in and actually dig trenches and fix pipes and fix pumps. NISA provides technical support more than spanner support. So it's a mix of intervention that goes in place. And I think it's working. I really believe it's working. And I think with that, Chair, I've actually covered most of the issues, except for Marissa and Zondile to come in. But Chair, just in conclusion, in terms of working on these hotspots, lots of after hours, midnight burning the oil, because to get in there and mobilize and make sure that it happens, it's not for the faint hearted. Thanks, Chair.
can I just speak before Mamuma just say that it's not all gloomy as far as MWC is concerned. We do have some projects that have been completed now in the 6 months. Our President Zoe has got about 2,089 households that are benefiting from the project, different villages. We've got also some in Northern Cape under Morolong and Khasekhonyane, and also in Nazamulema, we have completed the projects that we started there. So with the cycle 6, where we are able to be going in, we will have more. I think in the next 2 months or so, we'll have more projects that we can report on that we'll have completed.
The business unit and the department that I spoke about, they are all employees of the department. They are not consultants. They are employees, but as honorable member has indicated, that the reason why we are breaking down in terms of their responsibility is all still trying to pursue the issue of efficiency when we're operating and providing services amongst each other, so that there are clear roles and responsibilities on site, because it's important that on site the role of the engineer, the role of the contractor, and the role of the project manager is clearly defined, and they are there to check and balance each other to make sure that the project is implemented according to what it was agreed upon at the beginning of the project. Therefore, the two chief directors or the business unit that I said, which is engineering services and construction, that they are service providers, they are actually enablers. They provide services in terms of design and execution of the job. But the budget still remains with the people that are responsible to fulfill the mandate of the branch, which, because the budget can only be measured in terms of the objective that that particular unit or that particular business was created for. The NWIR business unit, as it is, or the NTC, is created to build new infrastructure and to operate and maintain existing infrastructure. Therefore, budget has to go to those two objectives. As to how then the work is done by through the enablers, which is other two chief directorates, that are paid as part of the project, like in any other project. They are taken as professionals, but it's still within the same department, and they are not a professional external service provider. I hope I'm clear on that. Then the two... SMMEs, what we have done as part of the new SLAs that we are signing with construction units is that we agree on a certain number of percentage that this particular work will only be done, because in any case they were engaging service providers, but nominated subcontractors. We are now dictating that the nominated subcontractors that government will get will be primarily sourced from that particular community where we are. And from the budget, we sit down, and when they bid, we then decide on, so they break down the whole bill of quantity. Now we break down the activities, and then we say, like grouting, takes about 10% of the total budget, like Ken William, it was, takes about 10%. So grouting will be done by people from the area. Like a classic example, in Ken William, the bid that they gave to us, it's not a competitive bid, but it says, across that bill of quantity, let's say we'll do this work by so much. Almost 700 million of that work has been set aside to say you will then do it with capacity of SMMEs from the area. So that 700 million includes material supply, also includes subcontractors. They will be sourced from the particular community. It's still new. We are trying to do the things. As Honorable mentioned, we can't change this thing overnight. We are trying our best. We will be reporting on the progress that we are making on the ground on Ken William. And that is being rolled out on all other projects. Interestingly, we are also bringing in stakeholders from that particular area, which is municipalities involved, stakeholders, and say, let's monitor this socio-economic strategy that the department is coming with, which is executed by construction units. Where does profit money go to? It is not profit per se. It's profit on the basis of what AG is calling it, because it's actually revenue generated from the construction work that construction unit is doing, which is your P's and G's that are in any bill of quantity. The P's and G's, they then come back to as part of your revenue. So the revenue that we are declaring, it comes back as part of revenue, and it gets into the it gets into our coffers, and then we then run our business with that. It's not such a huge amount of money. I was trying to get from the CFO how much exactly did we get. So around the sum, say 37 million. But it then comes back. It doesn't go to them. It comes back to the corporate office, and then it assists us to run our operations. It's not a profit per se. How far is the system development? It started last financial year. It's going to run for 3 financial years. A large majority, I can't tell the percentage of the modules that are under development are going to run live by 1st April. 1st April, post 1st April 2014, we'll be remaining with about 2 or 3 modules, that is asset management, but all the modules that we needed to make sure that we're running efficiently and we're able to account appropriately to AG will be ready and running by end of this financial year. The contractors are on site, the service providers that are dealing with the system development, they are on site. When are you going to fill the post 511? May you will agree with me that, and I think about 80% of the posts they're talking about, these are the posts of technical people. I'm not the only one in the built environment that we are all struggling with filling this post. There is a serious shortage of skills in the country. They are engineering, they are engineers, but most of them are being taken by private sector because we are not, our salaries are not competitive enough in terms of what private sector is paying and what we are paying. We have at the moment a program where we are trying to accelerate the registration of our graduate trainees, because the issue is OSD, which allows them to get decent salaries. You can only give it to them once they are registered with the Council of Engineers. Unfortunately, when they are still graduate trainees, they are in the system. In the process, we're losing a lot of them, but we are also not trying because they are not lost into the built environment. Infrastructure development is happening all over the country. We may, as government, I think at the moment, looking at the statistics, be developing capacity for other companies, but they are still within South Africa, where we appreciate that. But we just had a meeting with EXA as well as the Council for Built Environment. We are all agreeing that we haven't done enough in terms of skills development around built environment. There's a strategy that we've agreed upon to execute. We are hoping that is going to work, because we feel that the process of registration is taking too long. We would need to find an accelerated program. It's there, that strategy. We've assigned people from the department together with Department of Public Works who are working on how do we accelerate that. So it will always be a problem until such time that we nip it in the bud in terms of making sure that from high school we're getting enough people that are going to be able to come to this stream. At the moment, there is also another initiative with the same strategy. They say, let's begin to target them at grade 10. Target young people at grade 10, so that by the time they finish retreat, they are a pool that is ready to be accepted at UCT. Because currently now, even the GTs that we are having, a large majority of those GTs are not coming from universities, they are coming from the technical. Meaning that they will not be engineers, but they will be technicians. So we are trying to get that pool that will be engineers, that would be accelerated through this program. We can, the program is still new. We haven't even tabled it to our principals. We are working on it, but it involves just putting more effort of making sure that there is enough pool of engineers on the ground, because infrastructure development is the pillar of economic growth in any developing country like South Africa. So it may take a bit longer. We have initiatives that we are putting in place. Like right now, we are trying to join hands with Public Works. We're trying to tap into the retired engineers, but not coming in to do the work again, but to assist us in accelerating the registration of our graduate training. They can assist there and there, but their primary role would be to make sure that there is proper skills development that is taking place. Is it not going to be easy to turn around the construction? I think Honorable Nelly agrees with me. It's not an easy task. What is worse is running it within the government environment, and you have to run as a business. That's where the challenge is. And the minister has indicated that at least now, based on what the recommendations of the NDP, that they are looking at an agency. We are hoping that maybe when that particular what are you calling it, Mr. P? Not an agency, what do you call it? It's not a company as such, but that particular body, yes, when that particular body is in place, it will then be able, the English minister, but that particular body is in place, I think we're going to be able to work around it. But as the minister said, construction units is very, very critical. I have seen it, I may have, at the beginning, may have that thinking as well, that perhaps this thing is too messy for us, but the role that it is playing now with the protest, and I must commend the team here, that this team does not sleep. They are on the ground everywhere, 12 midnight, you say somebody must go there, they are there. So they are like our job team. We will find EG and we are in a constituency in Thabazimbi. We are there, they are running around. So I really appreciate that they are there, even though we are still struggling in terms of efficiency, but I think we are also improving there. The audit outcomes, I think you have seen that they are changing. Do you think it will change the situation? The issue that we are currently grappling with seriously is, well, in terms of efficiency, because in the built environment and in the construction management world, the only way to regulate each other is by penalties. Now, I can't impose penalties on myself. That's the one that I'm struggling with right now. But we're asking HR, can you help us to put incentives to entice them to do the work and move faster and other? So the HR has promised that they will assist us, because we can't impose penalties, which they are just regulating themselves with their conscience. But I think it's still going well so far. But it's a difficult one. Okay. I think that's about all, if I remember what I could have said.
Thank you, Tay. I'll just start. There was a question on the transfers, and are we saying that the water trading entity is spending all this money? I think the point we wanted to make is that there are transfers from the fiscus to the entity, which always gets spent, because it's like the cheap money, it's the easy money, it's easier to come collect it from revenue. But if we look at the trading entity's total performance, including its own revenue, the entity moved into a surplus from 2011-12. So on average, we are seeing about a 2 billion rand surplus. That's correct. From 2011-12, the entity moved into a surplus, and it is increasing from about 2 billion to just about 3 billion over the NCEF. Although the money that gets transferred to it all gets spent, we are not seeing the total revenue spent, which we might want it. The total expenditure versus the performance that was raised in terms of the Treasury, the Minister has highlighted that this is a process that we've just started. the intention of the pilot to get performance information from entities in a sort of a standardized format, the pilots were chosen so that we get different kinds of entities, very large ones, 3As, 3Bs, 3Cs, and trading entities. The idea is that if this seems like a successful pilot, which we are still looking at, it will be rolled out to all entities of the 1st of April this year, which will allow us to get that quarterly feedback of performance and not just of expenditure outcomes. The other two matters that must have been addressed are just, of course, to support the integrated planning issue that was raised in the presentation on the 12th slide. I think there are two sides to integrated planning. Now, there's integrated planning that speaks to actual delivery, and I know the ministers of COCTA and Water Affairs and Human Settlements are working closely together so that we understand the general development in those areas and be able to respond to that. But then obviously there's the institutional integration that needs planning to integrate it at the institutional level, and there the Minister has highlighted the move towards a water infrastructure agency. The Treasury really supports this. What it allows you to do is to move from a project-based financing to what they call a portfolio-based financing. So you use the balance sheet of the entity as a whole, and you are able to raise finance for different projects. It doesn't depend on the feasibility of a specific project. So we are also supportive of that shift. And then just lastly, the Honourable Member asked about the earmarking. We are not speaking about specifically and exclusively that will be brought down. So where there are still earmarking, and there are still earmarking, especially in the RBIC projects, it is nearly a case of them writing to us saying the project is being delayed, can we shift the money to another project? So it is not as if it would be specific and exclusively, we would have to bring it out to this committee for the adjustment budget before we can take it somewhere else. This merely requires a letter to our officers to say we have a problem, we want to shift money. So We in general have been moving away from earmarking, but I know in our big projects specifically there's still some limited earmarking, but it will not take a long time for us to respond. It's not like it's a major process. It's just an accounting thing for us to understand that the money is shifted. And then Chair, just maybe a final word on MWIC. I'm glad the Minister is on our side, understanding where we're going. If you can recall, our minister's input last year on this was that we will look at rescheduling, but we will look at it on a municipal-by-municipal basis, and I think that's exactly where we're going now, and of course we are hoping and will be supporting to ensure that we get the best outcomes for this year, which will only be by the end of June when the municipal financial year ends. Thank you, Chair.
Human Settlements, where we
integrating even at the stages of planning, but also at execution level right now. We use that mechanism to intervene in hotspot areas, in sanitation, bucket eradication program, but also in a broader planning as we go on. So I just thought that I should leave you with that point as well, just to illustrate the point about how we're using NISA. It's really beyond NISA. It's an integration as that. We really need to appreciate this opportunity. Looking forward to a very good year, but we really would love to come back, as I said earlier on. What you are making as input to the work that you do can only make us grow and act better rather than anything else. But thank you very much. That's really all I can say at this present time.
Thank you very much, Minister. We appreciate your presence. These meetings are normally for the accounting officers, but some ministers like yourself do come and grace them, and we really appreciate that. And that is it enables us to get the. A bigger picture, not that in terms of politically as well of the way we want to go. Just a few observations, as Minister. I think that as a committee, we appreciate the progress that is being made, especially around the M-Week, which is still new, but we think that there's room for improvement there. But the issue that we continue to grapple with and maybe all the time is the issue of support at the level of a municipality. So that I hear the CFO speaking about withholding of funds. I know the weapon that Sodari has, but I think our approach is that let's try to build capacity there at the municipality level. And maybe with your approach that the approach that says how can we try to intervene as areas, like your last remarks about engagement, whether at the level of planning, so that we ensure that people can spend these resources. I think that approach will help us. We have spoken about the issues, the challenges of Schedule 5 and 6, and we have agreed that when we deal with the giving of revenue 2014-15, we have to, what we call, further engage on that. But the other thing that we have as a committee is that sometimes when you do certain interventions, In some places, there is resistance, territorial, what you call, I'm sure the portfolio committee can, what you call, assist as well. Because if you're doing intervention, I'm not sure why people should resist, what you call, should be busy with the territorial fights when we want to roll out services to people. We also appreciate the work that is being done to improve the internal construction unit. To us is very important. We would like to support it. Before you arrive, Minister, we're saying that if we had time, we would really prefer to have a workshop around that and say, how can we improve, where do we see the gaps, and be able to deal with it that way, and the efficiencies that you were talking about. DG mentioned the spending on MIG. Well, I think that as 28% while 18% with of MWIC, but it's the issues really that we need to grapple with to ensure that we can improve. You know, MIG, and I think that's why you decided to come up with MWIC, so that we can have a bit of focus. But there's always been challenges, and from the oversight point of view, obviously we would like to give support just to ensure that we can improve on the expenditure on MIG, because the need out there is really enormous. We can't afford to have underspending. Well, with those few remarks, honorable members, on behalf of the committee, Minister, would like to thank you again and the team. Honorable members, we our meeting tomorrow. Oh yes, we're meeting with I'll say COC, or the COC as they want to be called, but we are meeting with them at 9:30. The issues are around the community works.